You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It's Monday, May 23rd. It is time for our conversation with our friend, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners. You might want to introduce our discussions that we have is we're here at another Monday morning with another confused discussion by Dr. Bob Weiss, so friend of the friendless. So, stuff I have in front of me is just, this stuff just keeps on delivering, I think, more important information in this topsy-turvy, postmodern, relative world. The downside that you can do whatever you want to do and what people are thinking about getting together doing. So let me just kind of lay out a few things here and see which one you pick on or which one we can discuss. But just to our listeners, once again, much of this has to deal with how scientists and ethicists are looking at the quote-unquote the future of mankind, really to try and make us better than what God has created. Although they will use sort of the undercurrent, this is all treatment for diseases, and this will help us understand our quote-unquote human nature. So let me just kind of list a few of these to our listeners so that they can see kind of what's going on out there in the world of bioethics and human care. One is, believe it or not, I think some people have perhaps even read the book The Island of Dr. Moreau, where they deal with what's called a chimera. We've seen this in Narnia, where you have sort of a half-human, half-man. I think it's called a centaur. In Greek mythology, there's a she-monster, which has the head of a lion and the body of a goat. And they're talking about taking human cells and putting them into pig embryos to have what they call a human-animal hybrid so that they can eventually grow organs, quote-unquote, in pig embryos, human organs in pig embryos. I know that sounds far-fetched, but believe it or not, University of California at Davis, that's what they're working on. It's technically, there's a moratorium on this, but people are still doing it. So what does that say about the laws of the land that we have here in our society? I read this stuff, and the question always comes up, but if you have pigs with partly human brains, you could actually have consciousness like a human. That's one of the scary parts of this. The other issue that's coming up, and we've discussed this, I think, some times ago, and that's the Washington Post on the East Coast is featuring a symposium on transhumanism. And it's basically entitled, We Can Do That, and it's all about the transhumanist party. Now, what that simply means for all of us is that we become more computer than human, much like the movie, kind of like iRobot, or I think there was another one out where I can't think of the RoboCop. We also have other movies out that deal with this, but they're looking at the long-term strategic way to deal with how do we improve society, that is the sharper ones, by turning them into more computers than humans. So there could be a society much like we've seen in some TV movies and Hollywood movies where the transhumanism is sort of takes over and you have a separate utopian society where computer technology has been introduced into the brain or other parts of the human body to control it. And that, of course, would depend on how the computer technology has been programmed before it goes in. So not trying to sound confusing, but trans, across from the human to a different person is the way it's going. The other one that I think is probably interesting and worth dealing with, perhaps not this morning, is that people around the world, and this was published last month in the journal Nature, which I received, that they want to start having a commission on what's called technoethics. That is, how is our current technology, digital technology, computer technology, impacting social norms such as family, aging, and other areas? And I guess I would throw into the circle on this one, when you have families, husbands and wives, and if they're blessed with children and so forth, or individuals that go out together, what is the first thing you see? We were just at the Red Robin a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing I saw when couples sat down with kids is everybody pulls out their iPhone. So I really think this, the iPhone and other technology, Game Boys and who knows what else is out there, really has fragmented families. That are they really communicating verbally face-to-face, or are they just, has this caused families simply to cohabitate in the sense of, you know, the computer technology has become their method of communication, but not with each other, but with their friends. And then another one is, believe it or not, here we go again into the future. There are scientists, and this is published in the New York Times last week, that want to propose creating artificial genetic material, that is the DNA that's in every body cell. They want to take, now here you go, Andy. They propose creating Neanderthal humans from ancient fragments of DNA that they have collected. And I know that sounds, you know, here we go, Jurassic Park revisited in the real world. And there's a movie out called The Island where they do this. And so this is something that people are working on. And the last one, I think, or the last couple here for our listeners is, people are starting, especially physicians, and I will say this, conservative bioethicists, people that are really interested in the care for human life, they're really pushing. There's a book out called Conversation by psychiatrists John Wattis and Stephen Curran, and they're really pushing this issue of holistic medicine, spiritual care. Now, for us, of course, this talks about, you know, being in Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection, as opposed to some of the reductionist health care that my brother has talked about when he comes down and talks in pastoral theology classes. So they're really trying to get in, especially for older people. We need to be slowing down and start to address more issues of holistic care for the older adult. And the last one, just so that your listeners after this may want to take an Advil or a leave, in the article that just came out in the Atlantic, I get it. It's not called the Atlantic Monthly like some people. It's called the Atlantic. And here's the question. There's no such thing as free will. And here's why we all may be better off believing it anyway. Well, basically what it comes down to is your genes and how your genes is hardwired in your brains. That's what they're saying. So there really is no such thing as free will. And that is because we already are predetermined based on our genes and our genetics. So if moral responsibility depends on faith and our own agency, then such belief in determinism spreads, you know, will we become morally responsible if everything's already pre-programmed? So in one sense, from our theological viewpoint, being in Christ, we do the will of God and not our own will. Of course, we make choices on what kind of clothes to wear and what's available in the closet like I do, but so this is a really interesting article and starting to resurrect this whole idea. There's nothing in here on the theology, biblical issues relating to free will. But so those are some issues, Andy. I hate to throw so many things at you and your listeners, but those are the things that are popping up in the bioethical area in terms of our humanity. So, you know, I'm never sure which one of these to take first, but they all deal with issues, and for the most part, some are good and some are kind of like, I guess you might say, crazy and far out there, but they are what they are.
Well, I have to say, you know, talking about that, the first topic of integrating technology with humans, this whole transhuman concept, it would be most likely my circumstance that, you know, if I were integrated with some sort of system with software, it would probably have a virus.
Well, you know, I forgive me for chuckling a little bit, but you're correct. They talk about that. There's a book out called The Eclipse of Man, Human Extinction, and the Meaning of Progress. And to eliminate this human extinction, which some people think we're heading that way in terms of the transhuman people and post-human people, which means you really are a computer now. You really are like a robot. That's kind of what they're concerned about, is that if anybody gets a hold of this kind of technology and can introduce some type of virus that would take over your body. And then guess what? It's the computer that controls you, just like we've seen in the movie iRobot, or somebody behind a computer that has integrated a virus into the chip that's gone into your brain or into your body, then all of a sudden they're controlling you. So it really does sound kind of far-fetched, but you've kind of hit the nail on the head, and that's one of the biggest concerns. And I suspect that perhaps some of your listeners are saying, boy, Bob Weiss, what are you reading these days? You know, but it's all kind of out there, and I'm not the kind of person, after seeing the advances of technology, to say, oh, this stuff will never happen. They're anticipating something similar to this perhaps in another 50 years, but as fast as technology is moving, you just don't know. I mean, it's kind of how it goes in terms of what's available out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, I don't know. Go ahead, Andy.
Remind me again the other topics that you covered. I didn't write them down as you were talking.
Well, one has to deal with the Chimera embryo business, the Techno Ethics Commission, which is a good thing to study how this technology has impacted our social norms in terms of certainly families and relationships between people. I wrote an article not too long ago on Leave Your Gift at the Altar in Text. Instead of people going face-to-face with people, they're texting them. And I realize sometimes that can be, that can happen, but we're kind of moving away from the face-to-face stuff and the telephone conversation and the handwriting, because many of these young kids that I've met, they can't do cursive anymore. The other topic was, of course, synthetic human genome to make a synthetic human being, which people are working on, and they want to take ancient fragments of DNA that they have and try and put them together, much like they did in Jurassic Park. And then the other one was the holistic care for older adults, especially at the end of life. So those are the topics that we sort of smothered everybody with that's listening to his time this morning.
Well, we certainly are. Care of older adults is certainly going to be an important issue for, another 2 or 3 decades as we see this large increase in the number of older adults.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder for those listeners this morning, what are their churches and their communities doing, and how are they interacting together, so that the church doesn't become an isolated fixture, but in their Christian witnesses out working within the community. Are the churches visiting senior citizen places? That is to say, I know they have members in Lutheran churches, certainly, that go to senior citizen locations. And you kind of, pastors and deaconesses and DCEs and all professional church workers kind of need to know how the community is working with older adults. So, because they need, if somebody says, well, what are you doing in this community? And let's say they just moved in, because older adults tend to move sometimes where their kids are. And the pastors need to know what's available in terms of the whole person. And then, of course, what's happening in the church to get them integrated into the life of the church. And if they have a day school, how can we integrate them into the life of the day school? So, because you are correct, the aging population is on the increase. And we tend to be more individualistic these days than community, because it's kind of whatever you want to do, you do. So I think that's a good discussion for many people to get into these days.
Absolutely. And we try to cover those topics, a lot of those topics on faith and family when we cover lifespan education, really, all the topics that are pertinent to faithful family life. And that's from, from conception to end of life issues and everything in between. We try to cover all that on Faith and Family.
Well, see, I'm glad you brought that up. I was hoping you'd bring that up, because everybody I talked to, they said, here in his time, I said, they have another program called Faith and Family where they get into a lot of topics and with a more broad discussion and having other guests that are experts in these areas. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because, faith and family, the word "and" is so important, because it connects both together. And we all understand in terms of faith and what family is all about. And that tends to be sometimes a bit of a struggle with perhaps both the husbands and wives working, and then you have single parents raising their children and all the stuff that is going on. And I remember that conversation we had, you know, all about puberty blockers and so forth early with transgender. So we're all good to bring that up. Maybe your listeners will get hooked into it.
Yeah, we're all out of time, Bob. Thanks so much. Okay. God's blessings on your week.